to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. We have quiz programs coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear Take It or Leave It with comedian Gary Moore as host. Right now, it's 20 Questions with Bill Slater and the hosting chair from the mid-1940s heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Come on, gang. Let's play 20 Questions.
Is it animal or mineral?
Is it a living American man?
Could I hear it at the opera?
Is it as big as a bowling ball?
Would it match one of Crosby's shirts?
Yes, everyone is playing 20 questions. And now here's your master of ceremonies, the man who knows all the answers, Bill Slater.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 20 Questions, the absolutely unrehearsed program where you listeners send in subjects for our questioners to identify in not more than 20 questions.
I'm the mystery voice, offstage in a soundproof booth. I'll tell you what the subject is, and a poster will inform our studio audience. But we won't tell our questioners,
who are Fred Vandeventer, famous newscaster, Florence Renard, musician and teacher, Bobby McGuire, our young high school student, Herb Palazzi, radio and motion picture producer. And our special guest tonight is a famous son of a famous father, now a member of the faculty at Princeton University, Mr. Eugene O'Neill, Jr. Mr. O'Neill, it's a pleasure to have you here on 20 Questions tonight. I understand that you have played 20 Questions probably higher in the air than anybody else that we've ever met.
Well, if you want to go into that, yes, as a matter of fact, I can recall playing it on a pack trip in Montana. I think our elevation was between 11 and 12,000 feet above sea level.
How good were you up there?
As a matter of fact, up there, I posed the question.
I see.
You know, breathing is hard up in those high altitudes, and we didn't get through very many questions.
Well, you'll find that here sometimes we're higher than a kite, too.
Yes. Well, let's see on what level we're operating 20 questions this evening. We're happy you're with us, Mr. O'Neill.
It's the top half of the world, the Northern Hemisphere.
All right, you at home know now. Let the studio audience see what it is, Miss Shepard. Vegetable and mineral, you have 20 questions in which to get it if you can, Van.
Is it manufactured?
No, it's not manufactured. Van, again.
Is it a geographic location?
It's a geographical location, yes. Bobby.
Does it exist today?
It exists today, oh, yes. Florence.
In the United States?
Partly. Bobby.
You say it's partly in the United States?
Yes. It exists partly in the United States.
Is it entirely connected, or is it just here in spot?
What I'm after is entirely connected. Herbert.
Is it partly here and partly in Canada?
Partly. Florence.
Would it be the borderline between Canada and the United States?
No. Nope, that's seven questions. You have 13 left. Van.
Does it cover the entire continent of North America?
Yes. Van.
Does it cover more than that?
Yes.
Is it the Western Hemisphere?
No. No. Bobby?
Does it cover below the equator?
No. Florence?
Is it the land north of the equator?
What's the name of that?
Oh, you mean one of the zones.
Do I mean one of the zones?
Is that what you're after, one
no.
of the zones?
Bob?
Is this one of the tropics? Is it the Tropic of Cancer or the Tropic of Cancer?
No. No.
Is this a continent?
More than that. Van?
Is it the Northern Hemisphere?
That's it! The Northern Hemisphere in 14 questions is all right for a starter. Let us move on to subject number two. This is vegetable and sometimes some animal.
Half a loaf is better than none, they say. Well, it's good enough to be a correct answer. The subject is exactly that half a loaf.
All right, now you at home have been told by the mystery voice. Let the studio audience take a look at this. I think they'll have trouble with it, don't you, audience? Ah, here we go. Van?
Is it wearing apparel?
No, it's not wearing apparel. This wouldn't keep you warm. You wouldn't look good dressed in this. Bobby.
Is this cloth at all?
No, it's not cloth. Florence?
Is this food?
Is it food?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes. Van?
Is it, does it have grain as a basic ingredient?
Yes. Yes. That's four questions used. Mr. O'Neill?
No,
I thought I saw you uncoiling one of those long arms of yours.
No.
Florence?
Is this some kind of bread?
Yes, it has to do with that. That's
five. You want
five.
More than bread?
Do I want more than bread?
Yes.
I like it, apple butter on it, and peanut butter.
Well, but answer my question.
What'd you say?
You didn't answer my question. You want something more than bread. You want bread and something else.
No.
Thank you.
Bobby.
Is this dish, or whatever it is, indigenous to any particular country?
No. It is not indigenous to any particular country. Those are pretty big words, aren't they, Mr. O'Neill?
Rather, yes.
Yes. Herb?
Do you eat this particularly at breakfast?
No. Not particularly. Could. Florence?
Is this bread in a saying or a quotation?
Yes.
The bread of life?
No. That's 10 questions.
I see.
Heard?
Is it the bread you kissed upon the waters?
No. No, that's sort of soggy. Bobby?
Is this,
I feel.
Is the word bread actually mentioned in the...
Oh,
thing?
Definitely, yes. In charge for that question. You have 8 left. Florence?
Is it the bread that's buttered on the wrong side?
No, what a horrible thought. No, it's not that bread. No.
Well,
Mr. O'Neill?
It wouldn't possibly be sweetbreads, would it?
No. No. Nope, that's 14. 6 to go. Herb.
Is it the bread and you know where your bread is buttered?
No. No. Nope, 15. 5 left. Florence.
Is it the bread you take right out of somebody's mouth?
Oh, that's a mean thought. No. It's
I'm getting
bread.
Desperate.
You don't do that if you're well-bred. That's 16 and 4 left. Van?
Was this by any chance biblical?
No.
Oh,
no. No. 17. 3 left. Now, I have 5 people looking up in the air and looking down. Bobby.
You said this was in a saying?
That was said.
It couldn't have been in a song.
What'd you say, Robert?
No, I was just thinking out loud.
That's your privilege, of course. You have used 17 questions. You have 3 left. Van.
Is any other food mentioned in the same saying?
No. No. Definitely not. 18. 2 left. The silence... Not to mention the bread could be cut with a knife right now. Florence.
Is this bread that you earn by the sweat of your brow?
No, I think that's a noble thought.
I don't think
not
that's
that
the
bread
right quotation,
either.
But
you have only one question left. Oh, you will have a cat fit if I have to tell you this. All right, anybody want to shoot question number 20 just for fun? Might as well take a crack at it. Bread and a saying that's been established. You give up. The half a loaf that's better than no bread. Oh, congratulations, Julie Greenwell. Didn't any of you think of that bread at all?
I never heard of it.
You never did?
No.
Well, you shouldn't know about loafing at your age anyway, Bobby.
Half a loaf is better than none is
there's
the way
no
we heard it.
There's no bread in the saying.
There's no bread in the
saying. Half a loaf is better than no bread.
No.
You
half
put
a loaf
the no
better
bread
than none.
I don't know.
No,
I'm
I think
at it.
Quite, I think we've quite honestly got to admit... loaf implies bread.
I'm afraid it does.
In all fairness.
Yes, yes. Loaf does imply bread, no matter how crummy you are. So,
no matter how crummy who is.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Touché, sir.
Here off stage, I'm wondering out loud to the audience only...
Furbearing?
...if Bill Slater isn't playing another of his tricks. The subject is a mermaid, and a mermaid is half woman, half fish.
Now the mystery voice has told the people at home, let the studio audience have a look at this one. This will give them a bit of a battle. Who has a question, Mr. O'Neill?
Fur-bearing.
No, not a fur-bearing animal. Van?
Is it an edible animal?
An edible animal? Well, it could be partly. Bobby?
Is it human?
Is it human?
Yes. Yeah.
Partly. Partly. Herbert?
Have I ever seen that pot around my house? That pot that's human.
Well, or something resembling thereunto. Mr. O'Neill?
Marine or amphibious or land?
Partly. Florence?
Well, this is several different kinds of animals.
No, it's not several different kinds of animals. That's 6 questions used. Van.
Is this a human being and something else connected with that human being?
Partly. Herbert?
Is it part of the Siamese twins?
No, no. That's 8 questions used. Bobby?
I'd like to review. You say that there is not several different kinds of animals?
There is not several different kinds
of animals?
Is
that what you said?
Where?
In this object.
No, I didn't say that.
Then I misunderstood the question. Are there several species of animals involved?
No, there are not several species of animals.
Is there more than 2?
No. Florence.
Are there just two?
Yes. Van.
Is it a man and something else?
No. Bobby.
Is this a woman on a horse?
Lady Godiva, no doubt. No, Bobby.
No doubt.
The answer to your question is no. Florence.
Well, is this a woman and some other animal?
Partly. Partly. That's 13 questions, 7 left. It couldn't be anything except what I have written on my card here from the questions you people have asked right up to here. Bobby.
Is this more than one human and one other type of animal?
No, it's not more than one human and one other type of animal that you're after.
Is this more than one other type of animal and one human?
No. I'm not sure I know what you said, but I'm positive the answer is no. That's 15 questions, 5 left. Florence.
Is this other animal wearing apparel?
What do you mean, this other animal?
Well, is it something that the woman might be wearing, which is...
The subject involves two kinds of animals, you see.
Yes.
And you've established that one kind involved in the subject is a woman.
Yes.
Now, what was your question, Florence?
Well, is she wearing maybe a mink coat?
No, this woman isn't wearing any mink coat. No. It was established that it was partly all those things. Mr. O'Neill.
Is this a general statement concerning...
Yes, there are quite a few of these.
...relations between... one part of a species and another?
No.
Like the female of the species is more deadly
than
the male? No.
No, this is a specific thing. This specific thing, and there have been quite a few of them, at least so it's been said. That's 17, 3 left. Van.
Well, are the ones that you are after alive now?
No. 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 There are none of these things are living now. No. That's 18 questions, 2 left. Van's got an idea.
Would it be a mermaid?
Well. Couldn't be anything else under the sun. All right, try this one.
Bill is giving the now perplexed panel members 20 questions to identify a half-baked person.
Now, you at home know. Let the studio audience take a look at this. I don't think they know what we're doing to them. Here we go. Van.
Is it a whole animal?
Yes, it's a whole animal. Bob?
Is it a human being?
Human, yes. Bob again.
Is it a man?
Some of them are, and some of them aren't. Bob?
Are they connected with, or rather, are they recognized by their occupation?
Recognized by their occupation? No. No, that's not the way they're recognized. Bob, her.
Are they recognized by how they make love?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen any of them making love. I can't answer that question, so don't count it.
Well, finally asked you one you couldn't answer.
Yeah. If you knew what the subject was, you'd realize why I can't. Florence.
Are these people all in one section of the country, or are they scattered around?
No, they're scattered around. Van.
Can they be recognized by their personal appearance?
Not always, unfortunately. Not always. No.
Well, I know, but can they be?
That you could if you had a very sharp and penetrating eye of the type that normal human beings don't have. That's a great help to you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Florence.
Are they some kind of criminals or undesirable people?
You asked two questions, didn't you?
Well,
said, are they some kind of criminals or undesirable?
I'll say, are they undesirable people?
Generally, yes. Yeah, Van.
Are they in conflict with the law?
Well, not necessarily. Some of them are and some of them aren't. That's 8 questions. Bob.
Are they denotable because of things they do? Or acts they commit? Or
sometimes. And sometimes the things they don't do and acts they don't commit. It's awfully definite. Van.
Yeah.
Do these people, are they recognizable because of their social consciousness or lack of it?
Yes. Van.
Well, are they people of the general type and character of Scrooge or something like that?
Well, not necessarily the type of Scrooge. Some of them are Scrooge-like and some of them aren't. In other words, it has nothing to do with their grasping for money. Mr. O'Neill.
Are they distinguished by any political interest or line?
No, I think you'll find them in all political parties.
Herb. Are they distinguishable because they're snobbish about something?
No, not because they're particularly snobbish. 13 questions, 7 left. Van.
Are they usually all women?
No. Most of the women in the audience were willing to answer that for you, and they said no. No. No, they're not all women. other words, some of them are, some of them aren't. Florence.
Does their finances, are their financial state have anything to do with...
No, no, Van.
Are they invariably married?
Oh, no. No, some of them are single. Herb?
Do you see these people when you have the DTs?
No, not necessarily.
Nothing like pink elephants or something.
I can't tell you what you see in that condition, but...
You said you had...
The answer would be no. Bobby?
Do you recognize these people because they do things which you yourself don't like?
You usually don't like...
Well, I'm saying it's something like an Indian giver.
No, not something like that.
It's not even something like that.
No.
Go back on your blanket.
Two questions to go.
Van.
Oh, I just got a hunch that this might be a trick question. Are these the people, see if I can phrase this right now, who do not do unto others as you would have them do unto you?
Oh, no. No, they're not those people. No. It's a trick question, though. You were right. But you haven't gotten wise to the trick of it yet. You have one question left. All right? Anybody want to try it?
This sounds to me like it might be all the quiz masters in the world.
Well, you don't understand your question, and I don't understand their applause. At all. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get it.
A half.
Congratulations to you, Mrs. Bloodworth. Okay, questioners, that wraps up four subjects.
Bill, give them no more than 20 questions.
Well, I won't, Frank, although they're having some difficulties tonight.
It's animal.
This is the 20 Questions Mystery Voice. The subject is oysters on the half shell.
All right, now let the studio audience in on this one. See if you can get this in 20 questions. Van?
Is it a whole animal?
Yeah, partly. Van?
Is it more than one animal?
Yep. Bobby?
Are they all human beings?
No, they're not. Bob again.
Are they partly human beings?
No, they're not partly human beings. What you're after, Florence?
Are they four-legged animals?
No. Van?
Are they birds?
No. Bob?
Are they marine animals?
Yes. Van?
Are they a specific kind of fish as distinguished from the great fish family?
Yes. Herb?
Are they in a saying?
No, they're not famous for being in a saying, Florence.
Are they fictional?
No, they're real. Van?
Are they generally considered to be an edible fish?
Oh, yes. An edible animal. Van?
Well, you said they were fish, didn't you?
You asked... No, I didn't say that exactly. No. Remember your long question about whether they were a specific type of fish as distinguished from the whole fish family? Bobby?
Are they mollusks?
Yes.
Are they shrimps?
No.
Oysters?
Yes. But which ones?
Maine oysters?
No, not,
pearl
not
oysters?
That way, not that
oh,
way.
Oh, I know, I think.
You think you know her?
Yes.
What?
The oysters on the half shell.
That's a boy, that guy. All right, now we're going to let you all at home play on this, and we won't tell you what it is, and we'll see if you can get it quicker than our questioners do here. Now, don't tell the people at home. Let the studio audience see it. It's animal. Take a crack at this. See if you can get this in 20 questions. I think you can. Van.
Is this a whole animal?
It's a whole animal. Yep. Florence?
Is he human?
Human, right. Yep. Bob?
Was he American?
American, yes. Bob?
Was he connected with the government?
No. Herb?
In the entertainment world?
Phase thereof. Florence?
Is he a writer?
No. Bob?
Was he in sports?
Yes.
In football?
Yes.
A coach?
No.
A player?
What'd you say?
A player?
A player. Van?
Is he still actively playing?
No. Florence?
Did he play in the Middle West?
Yes.
Red Grange?
Yes, 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 yes. Red Grange, the great, what did he play?
Halfback.
Halfback, that's right.
Number was 77.
That is absolutely correct. See what you can do with this one.
This is the mystery voice once more. Our panel will need all their wits to discover a half sole on a pair of shoes.
All right, now you at home know. Let the studio audience in on this. See if you can get this in 20 questions. Here we go. It's animal. Florence.
Is it human?
No. Van.
Is it a four-legged animal?
Partly. Bobby.
Is it more than one four-legged animal?
No. No. Florence.
Is it a part of a four-legged animal?
Part of a four-legged animal, right. Van.
Is it an edible animal?
The animal of which this is a part is edible, yes. Florence.
Is it cloth?
No, it's not cloth. Bob.
Do you find this part on this animal above its hip?
Yes, partly. Sometimes not.
Is it internal?
No. The thing you're after is not an internal part of an animal, Van.
Is it leather?
It's leather. What would it be, Florence?
Shoes?
Not quite, but you're close.
Moccasin? Santa Claus boots.
No, no, no. Mr. O'Neill.
Gloves?
No, no. Bobby.
Is this wearing apparel?
It's wearing apparel, what you're after. And it has to do with shoes, and it's leather.
The tongue of a shoe? The
heel? No, it's not the
sole,
sole
of your shoe.
The what?
The sole of your shoe.
No, not quite.
The heel?
No. What?
The heel and the sole.
No.
The tongue. Now,
wait a minute.
The tongue?
No, that's been asked. You have two questions left. You've been awfully close.
What's in
the shoe? Not the sole of the shoe. Oh, my. They're
the top,
suffering
the
for
The top
you.
Of the shoe?
The
Van.
The half sole.
Half
the
sole, of course.
Well,
all right. Half sole of a pair of shoes. All right, let me try you on some quickies. On these, Mr. Eugene O'Neill, we press the watch in just a second when I say go, and then when you've got a question, put your hand up, and you just keep throwing questions, and you're running against time instead of against a certain number of questions. It's animal, mineral, and vegetable.
The subject is Hendrik Hudson's ship, The Half Moon.
Now, you at home know, let the studio audience see what this is, and I'm going to say go in just a second. You'll have 60 seconds. Go.
Is it a structure?
No.
Is it a place?
No.
Is it in the United States?
No.
Does it exist?
I don't think it does anymore. Herb?
Does it have to do with Christmas?
No.
Was it in Europe?
It was.
Is it manufactured?
It's a manufactured thing in a sense, Van.
Was it associated with a person?
Was associated with a person.
Was it a city?
No, it was not a city.
Was he a Frenchman?
No, he was not a Frenchman.
Was he English?
He was an Englishman.
Was it a castle?
It was not a castle.
Means of transportation?
It was a means of transportation.
A ship. One of Columbus' ships?
No.
An explorer ship?
One of Drake's ships?
No.
An explorer ship?
One of Lord Nelson's
no.
ships?
No, no, no. 35
Henry
seconds
Hudson?
Gone. What?
Henry Hudson's half moon.
What was the name of it? The half moon, of course. Henry Hudson's ship, the half moon.
The subject is simply a half moon.
All right, you at home know. Let the studio audience take a look at this. Little tricky, isn't it, audience? All right, as soon as the press will stop watch, you'll have 60 seconds. Go.
Is it manufactured?
No.
Is it stone?
No.
Is it metallic?
Not exactly.
Does
no.
it exist?
It exists.
In the United States?
No. Van?
Is it still in the ground?
No, it's not in the ground. Van?
You say it's... Is it a precious metal?
No.
Is it in Europe?
No.
Asia?
No.
Africa?
No.
Is it glass?
No.
Is it on an island?
No.
Is it in the ocean?
No.
In the air?
Yes, it's in the air. Van?
Is it another planet?
Not a planet, no.
Is
Florence?
It part of the moon?
What part?
A half moon.
A half moon, of course. All right. You get the half idea?
Finally, yes.
The half moon. She
mentioned it to me just before you had Henry Hudson's half moon.
The half moon came over the mountain a little too slowly this evening. I'd like to pass on a little message now to you men and women of the armed forces overseas who are hearing this program through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. How about a subject from you for our board of experts to see if you, too, can win a grand surprise prize? You may address your questions to 20 Questions, Box 142, New York 8, New York, or through the Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, California, USA.
20 Questions came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
20 Questions on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the mid-1940s from the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's an hour of quiz programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Now time for Take It or Leave It, normally hosted by Phil Baker. He's on vacation for this episode, heard on July 4th, 1948. Comedian Gary Moore takes over this Sunday night show for CBS, heard at 10 o'clock, where over 17 million people were tuned in, making itself the second highest rated quiz program on the air at that time.
EverSharp presents Take It or Leave It, starring Gary Moore. Time to sharpen your wits with EverSharp. And Take It or Leave It, presented by EverSharp, manufacturers of famous EverSharp precision writing instruments and EverSharp chicken injector razors and blades. Take It or Leave It, the most exciting game you ever played. The game that doubles in interest with every question asked. The game with the giant jackpot race. Well,
Now, friends, in keeping with the spirit of today's holiday, I'd like to present the star of our show, a young man whose head is shaped like a firecracker. It's round and long and has a little string on the top. And here he is, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ken Niles, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to say that I hope you're all enjoying a safe and sane fourth. And if Phil Harris is listening in, I'm sure he's enjoying a strong and delightful fifth. He's still on his vacation a week, you know. The kid's probably lit up like a Roman candle.
Gosh, I guess the 4th is a great day for all of us, Gary.
That's right, Ken. This is the day we celebrate our heritage. Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, and George Washington, the father of our country.
Father! Father! George Washington is not the father of our country! I'm the father of our country, do you hear? I'm the father! I'm the father of our country! Yeah!
Go on home, Bing. That's a fella. But friends, in Los Angeles, as in many towns, the sale or setting off of fireworks has been tabooed by the city. But just so that all of you here tonight will not pass the 4th without some sort of celebration, we have arranged for our own gigantic fireworks display right here on the stage. 10 miles, are the fireworks set?
Check.
Is the powder dry?
Check.
Are the fuses open?
Check.
Then Cookie Fairchild, give us a fanfare and we'll set off our gigantic display. Cookie, take the fanfare again. I gotta put a cap in and we'll go off. To me. And so much for our celebration. Now let us get on with the business at hand, which happens to be take it or leave it. And by the way, friends, our jackpot for tonight is worth 10 times 64, or $640. Which brings us up to our first contestant, an enterprising-looking gentleman from Los Angeles, and his name is Mr. I.B. Abrams. Hi, Mr. Abrams. How are you?
How are you, Gary? I'm fine.
Nice to see you. What do your friends call you?
Oh, Ike.
Ike?
Ike. I've got another nickname, too.
Oh?
Inky.
Inky? Ike is better. It's a very hot name along about now, you know.
Well, but with the first letter on the other name, it's okay, too.
That's right. Sure. You're all set. Tell me, what do you do for a living, Ike?
I sell real estate.
Oh, here in Los Angeles?
Here in Los Angeles.
How's business?
Stinks.
Ask a direct question, you get a direct answer. Tell me, what did you receive as a gift tonight, Ike?
Well, I've got that chick injector with blades. That's an Eversharp chick injector, pardon me.
That's all right. Eversharp chick, the world's only razor with automatic blade changer. It banishes forever your 4 biggest shaving nuisances. And now, Ike, what category do you want to talk about tonight?
I'll just try 15.
Number 15, all right. This is called Sports Menagerie. This is a group of general questions about animal terms in sports. For $1, in prize fighting, what is a rabbit punch?
Well, that's a punch that's struck on the back of the neck, I believe.
That's right. Right with Eversharp for $1. All right, now you want to go for 2?
Sure.
All right, Ike. What animal is the Navy's mascot?
That's the goat.
The goat is right with Eversharp for $2. All right, now you want to go for 4? For $4, in what sport do you find the Detroit Tigers?
The Detroit Tigers are in baseball.
That is right, whatever, show for $4, too. Yeah, you're coming along, all right.
I need the dough.
You need the dough. Business is rough, or like you said. You have... All right, so you got $4. You want to go for eight, Ike?
Let's go.
All right, what university football team is called the Wolverines?
That's Michigan.
That is Michigan, right. Michigan. We had to bring that up.
Yeah.
We just don't let USC forget, do we? All right, you have $8. You want to go for 16, Ike? For 16, what baseball player was nicknamed Harry the Horse?
That was Danny.
Harry Danning is right with every shot. Well, you're hotter than a pistol tonight.
So are you.
I'll tell you one thing, we're both hotter than that pistol that we shot off in the beginning. Send that back to Sears Roebuck in the morning. $32. Do you want to go for 32? What prize fighter was called the toy bulldog?
That was Mickey Walker.
That is certainly right. You're breezing through this. All right. You want to give up real estate and go in for this every week. All right, you have 32. Do you want to go for 64?
Let's go.
All right. This is a fine sports question. What are snake eyes?
That's in shooting dice when the one point comes up on each die.
That's right. A pair of ones and dice is quite... It's a fine thing. A sports category, you got a crap question in there. These questions are written by a college girl. I don't know what kind of sports they had at the college where she went. Shooting dice. All right, this brings us up to our next... Oh, look. This is Miss Margaret Reinecker, bless her heart, from Baltimore, Maryland, my old home town. How are you tonight?
Just fine, thank you.
What are you doing so far away from Baltimore?
On a vacation.
Oh, really? Having a good time, are you?
Very, very fine.
What do you do back there in Baltimore?
I'm a secretary. Shall I say for whom?
Whisper it to me first.
Procter & Gamble.
Fine whisper. Fortunately, it turned out fine. They're one of my sponsors on Breakfast in Hollywood, too, so I'm very happy that you mentioned it. All right. What category do you want to talk about, Miss Reinecker?
I think I'll take number 16, the theater.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we start this category, is there any special relative you'd like us to notify in case you don't get through this thing? Or...
No, she's right here.
She's here? All right, this is called the theater. Each of these plays should bring a great star to mind. I will name the play, you name the star. For $1, The Barretts of Wimpole Street.
Captain Cornell.
Captain Cornell is certainly right for $1. All right, now let's go for $2, shall we? All right, Berkeley Square. Oh, now you must remember that. Berkeley Square.
I saw it. Also saw Captain Cornell do that, I'm sure.
Well, now you might have. I don't know fully up on what Katie's been doing. But, this is a man.
A man?
This is a man, yes. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
The Barrister of Wimpole Street?
Oh, you're going back to the $1 question. Well, you see, as the game goes on, you get different questions each time.
What was the second question? I know. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
No, that's great. Look, if you could do the first question seven times.
No, no. What am I doing now?
Berkeley Square.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Leslie Howard,
certainly. All right, now you have $2. That's all right, Miss Ronick. We have all night anyhow. Well, you want to go for $4?
Yes.
All right. The Guardsman.
John Barrymore. Oh, the lunch.
The lunch is certainly right with every time. Baltimore's doing well tonight.
Yeah.
All right, now you have $4. You want to go for $8, Miss Ronick?
Sure.
For $8. Biography.
Anna Claire.
Anna Claire, it couldn't be right. Yeah. All right, now do you want to go for 16?
Sure.
All right, for $16, this one goes back a bit before your time, quite a bit. Lightning.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
Wait a minute.
No coaching from the audience, please. I heard some wrong coaching, by the way.
I didn't hear any coaching. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
No. No, it isn't George M. Cohan. No, that's who you're thinking about.
Of.
Oh, come on now. You're from Baltimore. I've got to pull your bacon out of the fire if I can. Miss Reinecker?
I don't believe I know.
Oh, you're going to be so chagrined when I tell you.
Am I really?
Chagrined isn't a hint. I'll tell you what was a hint. You let it go by you. I said, I'd like to pull your bacon out of the fire. Who was it?
Somebody back there is trying to coach me.
I'm sorry, Miss Reinecke. The answer is Frank Bacon.
I never heard of him.
He's the happiest loser I've seen in a long time. Huh? He's a good sport. This is Gary Moore again, I'm afraid, friends, with lots more take it or leave it. It's time now for our third contestant, who, as usual, is not in our studio, but is standing by our remote control microphone out at some veterans' hospital. Tonight, the hospital is Wadsworth General in Sawtelle, California, and the boy we'll hear from is former Private First Class Robert Densmore of the United States Army. So here we go, across the miles to Sawtelle and Robert Densmore. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Just fine, Gary.
You hear all that applause? That's for you, man. People want you to win, apparently.
So do I.
I figured as much. Tell us something about yourself, Bob. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23. You married?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Got any kids?
Mm-hmm. Little girl, 10 months.
Oh, good. Where's your wife tonight?
She's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, boy, I hope she's listening to anything.
I sure hope so.
All right, we better get down to work now. This is the way we work it. You get $64 to start off with. You get to keep that no matter what happens. And from there on in, you have the same chance as our studio contestants. If you lose, you lose. And if you complete the category, you get an additional $64. Is that all right, Bob?
That's sure fine.
Okay, fine. Now, what category do you want to kick around?
I think I'll take number one, orchestras.
Number one, orchestras. All right. This is called Who Was That Lady? A lady's name is mentioned in each of these song titles. We'll have them played for you by Cookie Fairchild and the band. Let's see how many you know for $1.
Sweet Sue.
Sweet Sue is right with every shot for $1. Okay, you now have $1. Do you want to dash madly and recklessly into the $2 question?
Oh, I think so.
All right, for $2, Cookie.
Dinah
is right with every shot for $2. Oh, that was so jazzy, Cookie. Really? You keep playing that well, and I think it's just possible I can get you a spot as a contestant on the Horace Heights show. You seem very good. The whole band. All right. For $2, now do you want to go for four, Bob?
Sure do.
Here we go. $4. You were mighty silent there for a while. Scared me a little bit.
All I could think of was LaRue LaRue.
That could be her first name. I don't know. I'll say, you want to go for $8?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Mandy.
Mandy is certainly right for $8. Yes. Say, what are you going to do with the $64 if you win it, Bob?
Oh, I think I'll spend it on my home.
You do what?
Spend it on my home.
Uh-huh. That's good. $64, you know, you could make a down payment on a pork chop or something.
That's about it.
That's some kidding the way things are going. Okay, you got $8. Do you want to go for 16?
Yes.
All right, here we go, Cookie.
Liza
is right with every shot for $16. By the way, do you know that that song was first introduced by Jimmy Durante, of all people, in the Ziegfeld show called Showgirl? I didn't know that myself till the other day. He introduced it. The opening night, he sang that song through his nose, and it wasn't heard until 4 days later. You listen to this, Schnaz, take care of yourself. You got 16. You want to go for 32, Bob?
Yes, I do.
All right, here we go.
Delilah.
Delilah is right with every shot for $32. Boy, all right. Now you got 32. Now you want to go for 64. Say yes.
Yes.
All right. Cookie?
Margie.
Margie is certainly right. You got $64. fine, Bob. Thanks, Robert Densmore. You're a fine guest. And just to show our appreciation, the Eversharp people would like to contribute another $64 to the recreational fund of your hospital. And that brings us up to our next contestant, who is Mrs. Mary Edelstein of New York City.
Nice
to talk to you, too. Say, just a minute. Bob, are you still on the line, Bob?
Sure I am.
Listen, where's this home that you're building?
Down in Alhambra.
In Alhambra, near here, huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's good. Are you in the process of building it?
No, we've already bought it, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Uh-huh. Hattie, let's make a note. Send another $64 from Eversharp to you as a house present, okay, Bob?
Thank you very much.
Right home. Thanks a lot. Dad's got to have a housewarming. Now, Mrs. Edelstein, how are you again?
Fine, thank you.
Awfully nice to see you. And you are from where?
New York City.
Uh-huh. And what are you doing out here?
On a visit, vacation.
I see. What am I doing with my earphones on? You're right across from me here. I was wondering why she sounded so far away. Are you all set to play Take It or Leave It tonight?
Yes, sir.
May I ask you what you received as a gift?
She's
holding it up. A what? That's a Kimberly pocket pen by Eversharp. That's right. It's the most convenient pen I know, as a matter of fact. It's a little larger than a cigarette, yet it opens to a full-size pen with full ink supply. Now, Mrs. Edelstein, what do you want to talk about?
House furnishings.
House furnishings. All right, fine. This is called Household Furnishings Double Talk. Each of these definitions should fit an object ordinarily found in every home. For instance, if I said what comes down at the end of a play, you would say curtain. That's right. Too bad that wasn't for anything, you know? Oh, we can't... Look, I just... Here's 50 cents. That was just a sample, but you got it right.
Thank you.
That's all right. I didn't want you to waste all that effort. All right, for $1, where Madam Chang is first lady?
China.
China is certainly right. Whatever shop for $1. You had a new set of china in your home recently?
No, sir.
Eh?
Would like to have one.
I'm afraid you got the wrong quiz program. No kidding, it's fantastic. You know, the stuff they give away on some of these shows now. I was listening to a radio show the other day. They not only gave away a free rat extermination service, they gave you a 5-year supply of rats. Awfully nice thing. Well, maybe for $64 you can get yourself some china. You have $1. Do you want to go for two?
Yes, sir.
All right. A sudden rainstorm. A sudden rainstorm reminds you of what that's in a house?
Close the windows.
Yeah? But this has to be an object. It's something that's in the house. You know, like china or a... What is a sudden rainstorm? That's probably not clear, and I can't sing it.
Umbrellas?
No, but this has to mean the same thing. You see, a sudden rainstorm, it has to be something that means that, and yet it's something that's in a house.
Water.
Water? A shower is what I've got, but there's water in a shower for $2 yet. No sense us fighting that. It was bigger than both of us. Miss Edelstein, move in a little closer, will you? All right, you have $2. Now, do you want to go for four?
Yes, sir.
All right, $4. A pigeon.
Sorry.
What do you think, audience? Now, wait a minute. Now, it's up to you, Miss Edelstein. You want to go, huh?
Yes, sir.
She says yes. All right. Now, a pigeon that informs the police. A pigeon... Oh, audience. A pigeon that informs the police. This is a kind of gangster talk.
Sorry.
Too late now. She's committed. Oh, you must know what they call a pigeon. A fellow who tells on
a
his...
Stool pigeon.
Stool pigeon. You don't know enough gangsters. That's the trouble. All right, you got four clams. You want to go for eight, hey? That's tough talk, you know. All right, you want to go for eight.
Yes.
What is the group that advises the president? the group that advises the president.
The,
Oh, now you know that.
I know.
Fibber McGee has one, only he doesn't, Well, that's a wrong clue. Forget I ever said it. That's a closet. That isn't right.
The cat,
Well, that's right. You got it. You got it. You said it to me. You said the first syllable in there. The group that advises the president. What else?
The House,
Mrs. Edelstein, time is fleeting.
The cabinet!
All right, you got 8. Do you want to go for 16, Miss Edelstein? Now, you can go. You have 8. You can go for 6.
That's enough.
You want to take the 8 and sit down?
That's right.
Listen, she knows what you want to do. Thank you, Mrs. Edelstein. That brings us up. She knows what she wants to do. Now, we're bringing up to our next contestant, who is Mr. Philip Ballard of Los Angeles. Hello, Mr. Ballard. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
We've got to hurry along here tonight. What category do
Number
you want to
11.
Talk about? Number 11, huh? All right. This is called President's Nicknames. I'll give you the nickname, and you tell me the president. For $1... Change is so tough for a first question. Oh, well. What president was nicknamed Honest Abe? Abraham Lincoln is right for $1. All right, now you want to go for 2?
Why, I'll try.
All right. What president was nicknamed Old Hickory?
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson is certainly right. Okay, now you have 2. You want to try for 4?
I'll try.
That's the spirit. After all, Rockefeller didn't stop after he found a couple of oil wells, did he?
No.
And Ford didn't stop after he made a couple of cars, and Bob's Topping didn't stop after Arlene Judge. You got to keep going. All right, for $4, what president was nicknamed Tippecanoe? He was named Tippecanoe. He had 3 names. Well, most of them did, but I mean, he's known by this. What president was nicknamed Tippecanoe?
I'm stuck on that already.
Would you want to take a guess out of all the presidents?
Oh, I heard that.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Well, it was wrong. I heard it too.
I'll tell you that.
I was wrong. I'll tell you this. It is not Robert Tyler. You think of the expression Tippecanoe and Tyler too, but that's not it. See, there lies the danger of this thing.
Oh, is he an old-timer, wasn't he, way back?
He's a pretty old boy.
Pretty old. Way back there, huh?
He'd be pretty creepy if he were around today.
Well, I'll take a chance. John Adams?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Ballard. The answer is William Henry Harrison. Stick around for the jackpot.
Thanks.
Sure, he knew. Well, that brings us up to the ever-sharp jackpot question. Tonight, our jackpot is worth 10 times 64, or $640. And all of our contestants are going to race for it. The first one with the right answer gets the whole amount, and if nobody wins, our jackpot is automatically doubled to 20 times 64, which will make next week's jackpot worth $1,280. I'll be back in a jiffy with the jackpot question. Question? Refers to word to you men.
Mister, are you a blade jockey? Do you keep jumping from one make of razor blade to another, always looking for a better shave? If so, don't you think that perhaps you have the wrong idea? No, switching blades isn't the answer. Switch to a different razor, a modern razor, the Eversharp Schick Injector, the world's only razor with automatic blade changer. Eversharp Schick banishes forever your 4 biggest shaving nuisances.
1, fingers never touch the blade. No blades to unwrap, so you can't cut your fingers.
2,
nothing to take apart, put together, twist, or turn. To clean, simply rinse, shake, put away.
3,
less irritation. Eversharp Schick ensures smoother, cleaner, safer shaves. Make shaving easy, even under nose and around lips.
4,
no time wasted. Just push, pull, click, click. Out goes the old blade, in goes the new.
Heavily gold-plated and handsomely packaged, it's a $1.75 value. Special now, only $1.25, complete with 20 blades. Buy yours tomorrow. And remember, for the shave of your life, the rest of your life, push, pull, click, click.
Thank you very much.
much, Ken. Mr. Fairchild, I compliment you on that musical effect, that bloop, bloop, bleep, bleep. It sounds like the mating call of a curdled kumquat. Oh. Awfully good. Anyhow, this is Gary Moore again, friends, with our Eversharp jackpot question, which tonight is worth 10 times 64, or $640. Remember, this is strictly a race. Every contestant has an equal chance. If a regular contestant here on our stage gets the answer first, you will hear a bell. And if Robert Densmore gets the answer first, you will hear a whistle from the hospital. So get out your Eversharps, get ready. Here is the $640 jackpot question. In what year was Joan of Arc burned at the stake? Sorry, nobody won, and so the jackpot is automatically doubled to 20 times 64, making next week's jackpot $1,280. The jackpot question was, in what year was Joan of Arc burned at the stake? And the answer is 1431. Awfully sorry. Well, I guess we've had it for tonight, friends, but before closing shop, I would like to remind you that automatic saving is sure saving. Buy U.S. savings bonds regularly where you work, or if you're not on a payroll, where you bank. Until next Sunday, then, this would be Gary Moore saying bye-bye, bye bonds, and bye Eversharp. Goodbye for Eversharp.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Take It or Leave It, on Tune 2 Yesterday, a broadcast from Independence Day 1948 on CBS. That wraps up this hour of quiz shows on Tune 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levinier. It's been a pleasure.